As we expected, Arundel is suspended. We will talk about what the NHL Department of Player Safety ruled on the Sabres netminder, what the Sabres will do in goal next, and some mid-season Saber player grades. It's all coming up on the Locked On Sabres podcast.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into the Locked On Sabres podcast and making us your first listen every day. We're free and available on all platforms. Joe DiBiase at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. Jordan Hanskin at JR Hanskin on Twitter. Joining you fresh off of a tough Wordle challenge of today. Did you get it? You got it in five, I think, right?
Got it in, I think it was five, yeah. I've been in the 4-5 range lately, which some might say, oh, he's not that good at it. Mm-hmm. And I would say, no, it's there's a method. There's a logical method. It actually takes more skill to take more times.
It's living on the edge, too. The high wire, high danger act.
The clutch player. The clutch gene is strong.
Yes. Close games. He plays close games.
Have you done Gordle?
Oh, my God. I can't do Gordle. For those that don't know, Gordle is Wordle with you're guessing the five letters, and it's hockey player names. I tried it once, couldn't get to a third name, and I'm done.
I'm 2 for 2.
Really?
2 for 2 in Gordle.
Everyone struggles with that. What was today's? I'm not going to play it. What was today's?
Today's, I can look it up real quick here. Stall for me.
So, like, when I tried it, I went Jones, and then I went Hashik, and then I just listen, I watch hockey as much as anybody. I ran out of player names. Like, I couldn't think of any. I couldn't think of anyone else that went with five letters. So
today's was the first one that I got was Fiala.
Oh, good. Kevin Fiala.
Kevin Fiala. And today's was Joffrey Lupul.
Lupul. How do you get the Lupul? So I remember Lupul.
I went, my order was Coil.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Then I went Line A.
Oh, good. Okay.
And so I've used four letters, and I was trying to think of a hockey player name that had an L and a U in it. Because there had to be a vowel. And yep. A and I and O and E weren't there. So I was thinking like L, Lou. I tried like Luku. I thought that maybe there's a Finnish guy named Luku or something. And I was like, wait a minute, L-U.
Yeah.
And then a loophole came to mind. That turned out to be the right one.
Okay.
I think you should give it more of a chance.
When does Jochen Hesch get a...
Hesch will... I'm waiting for it.
You better... Imagine if you... That's going to be the pressure cooker. If you don't get Hesch... I feel like you can't not get Hesch, though. You'll get Hesch.
I'll get Hesch.
There's no way you don't. So we are going to do some player grades a little bit later on in today's episode, but we have to start today's show with where we really not ended, but the main subject of what we talked about in the recap of the Ottawa Senators game from Tuesday night. It happened. Arundel, Sabres goaltender, has been suspended 3 games by the NHL Department of Player Safety. We both guessed at like 1 game, he got 3. They suspended him because it was interference. Drake Batherson, the Senators All-Star, who is now out long-term, by the way. He is not going to go to the NHL All-Star game. Brady Tkachuk is going to go in his place for Ottawa. Coming around behind the net, Arundel, as the NHL Department of Player Safety video pointed out, he takes a step into Batherson. It's not like just him holding his ground and just not getting out of the way. He pulls his elbow up, and he steps out into the space that Batherson is about to go into, who is flying towards the board. And again, Batherson doesn't have the puck, so it's labeled interference. And there were some videos that were coming out about Dell during his time with the Sharks. He had kind of made contact like this before in his career, never suspended. So two-part question. One, is this the right call by the NHL Department of Player Safety? And two, I mean, we're both, I guess, at least a little surprised because we thought 1 game, but how surprised should we be that it ended up being 3?
So the first one... Well, I'm not surprised. And I think that, like, You know, I think it was warranted. He deserved a suspension. He needed something for that. Now, I thought because of, like, I was just thinking, like, first-time offender and, like, how – I wonder, too, like, would they have taken into account the Sabres' goalie issues? But, yeah, like, I'm not surprised by it. I think it was a dirty play. The more I thought about it, I think last time I was like, you know, I don't know if he was intending to injure, but he still did initiate contact. He was trying to hit him. And I was wondering, like, oh, is he just trying to set, like, a kind of a pick? But, I mean, what it cost is what it cost. And I think that made it worse. And the league decided to put the hammer down. Probably also to stop goalies from doing something like this.
Right. Right. Again, like I said this on the Tuesday show, that if you're not allowed to be hit, you should not be allowed to hit. And right, that's a good precedent to set, that goalies can't just be out here throwing elbows. Like you're protected, but you're not, right. You're not invisible, or you're not absolved from everything, you know? So I think that was a good precedent, good decision by the NHL. No one really did. Was anyone supporting Dell on this? Nobody. Saber fans, Saber media, former goalies, like everyone. These are rare. Usually you have some debate on these. This was universal. Everyone's like, oh,
Tom Wilson gets more debates.
You're right. Everyone on this one's like, nope, Dell, come on. Terrible job. Get out of here. Yeah. Maybe because it's Aaron Dell too. Like, who's Aaron Dell?
Right. And it's like a star player got injured on the play. Yeah. Now, the Sabres are in a bit of a conundrum.
Yes. So they are now down to their sixth string goaltender. Dell was their fifth string guy, really.
This is crazy. Anderson. This is historic.
Out, Tokarski out. Lukanen out. Subban out. Tokarski's been on the COVID list forever, by the way. Now Dell is suspended. Michael Hauser, the last man standing. Second year in a row, Michael Hauser, the last man standing. That net is cursed. You go in there, you are not coming out alive.
He's king of the ashes.
Right. Exactly. So Hauser will play against the Coyotes, I'd imagine, on Saturday. But now the Sabres are out of goalies. They don't have anybody else under contract. The hope is that Craig Anderson, who's been back practicing and says that he thinks he's ready to return before the All-Star break, I think the hope is that Anderson will be ready to back up Ford Hauser on Saturday against the Coyotes and maybe start Sunday against the Avalanche. If not, it'll have to be Hauser back-to-back. And if Anderson's not even ready to be the backup, which is very possible, there's two goalies in Rochester right now. And I'd imagine the Sabres sign one of them, unless they just pull someone else off the street. Matt Robson, who has played 7 games for the Amerks this season, has a 4.25 goals against average and an .868 save percentage. He's allowed 29 goals in 7 games. And then you have Charles Williams, who played at Canisius like 5-6 years ago, who's played like 10 games in the AHL. He, in 2 games for the Amerks, has allowed 11 goals. So you've got 2 East Coast Hockey League goaltenders, not even really good East Coast Hockey League goaltenders, that are currently playing for Rochester. One will probably have to back up. I think that's where they're at. Unless, I don't know, do you got an idea? Is there a former Sabre goalie that Kevin Adams should be calling up? Bring Marty out of the booth? I don't know what else to do.
Ryan Miller. Yeah, I can't think of any other options. Nor does it really matter. I mean, if you're in tank camp, this is kind of dream come true scenario.
Yeah.
Like you get to have the Sabres goaltending kind of be the reason that they falter. I think Hauser's actually been pretty good. So yeah. Like, I don't think that he's like necessarily a downgrade, but if you're thinking like, oh, wouldn't it be great if the Sabres still, like, we got to evaluate players, but they just kept losing. Like, yeah. This seems like the formula for that to happen.
Yeah. Hauser, in the 2 games he played for the Sabres, 73 saves on 77 shots. He allowed 4 goals. So he was better than Dell in those 2 games.
And I think Dell himself hasn't been as bad as he was before. I mean, 47 shots. He hasn't been good, but like,
no.
47, 40, you disagree? 47 shots. He had what, 42?
I guess he's been okay as of late. He's seen 94 shots in the last two games.
Yeah, I think the defense has just been pretty porous, to be honest. So no matter who goes back there, it's gonna be trouble.
You're right anyway. What's the point of signing anybody that's worth anything? Like Devin Dubnyk is gonna go play for Team Canada at the Olympics. Don't there's no reason to convince Devin Dubnyk to come play for you, because in three games Aaron Dell's gonna be back. Maybe in three games Craig Anderson is gonna be back. So Lukanen will be back at some point.
Yeah. I don't think there's any way they bring anybody in.
There's no is there a recently retired guy that'd be fun that like, hey, like this will help sell tickets. We're gonna bring this guy in for a game. We're gonna bring back Marty Brodeur to play one game for the Sabres.
Jim Craig
is gonna play one game for the Sabres. Archeris Erbe, who was once the Sabres goalie coach, maybe he wants to play.
I'm trying to think of like random people like
Ryan
Johan Hedberg.
Johan Hedberg. What's Jonas Enroth up to these days?
Olaf Kolzig.
He's probably playing in Sweden. He ain't going to come over. Kolzig.
Would Olaf Kolzig sell tickets?
How many tickets do you think he would sell? 20?
It's
how many Sabre fans? Like, imagine this conversation. Like, you want to go to the Sabre game tonight? It's like, nah, I'm not feeling it. Olaf Kolzig is starting.
Now, Czechmonic is playing.
Roman Czechmonic is playing. Yeah, I don't know that any of these really work. That's crazy. It's crazy, right?
The Bulin Wall.
At some point, do we start thinking about this? This is 2 years in a row with all these injuries in net. Anything? Any criticism of the Sabres training staff, goalie coaches? Or just dumb luck?
I get into this spot where like a team deals with injuries and I'm like, oh, what's up with the training staff? Training staff, they react to injuries, right? Like maybe strength and conditioning, you could say. Like I'm supposed to blame the team doctor for like 8 goalies going down. Mm-hmm. It is weird. Like you would think that it's a statistical anomaly if you're doing like analytics and stats. Like it's something that doesn't make sense. So there might not be a reason that makes sense. There most likely isn't a reason that makes sense for why it's happening. Mm. Like, I just think like I think we always want to find somebody to blame, right? You always want to find like the easiest blame, whether it be a coach or some team official. But I really just think it's could just be dumb bad luck.
Yeah. Ed Gannon, by the way, is the Sabres strength and conditioning coach. This guy right here is the Sabres strength and conditioning coach. Yeah.
I don't think we can blame this guy without knowing anything.
That's probably right. He's got some good hair though. Some good lettuce up there.
It's true.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll do some mid-season grades when we come back. Do some on-pace-for stats as well in the process. Look at some of the top Sabre goal scorers and point getters on the year. Coming up in a second, it's the new year. That means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to the resolutions because it tastes so good you want to eat it, unlike other protein bars, which can be chalky, waxy, or taste like a chemical spill, to be honest. Even if you're not a huge fan of working out, can at least eat something that tastes good and is good for you. That way, when you enjoy a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. And there are so many good flavors to choose from. Coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookie dough, cookies and cream, mint brownie, so many more. Head to Built.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Sabres podcast. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin. You can check us out on YouTube. Be sure to check us out there if you are a frequent listener and you'd like to watch the video component. We do some film breakdown after the games. Always a good watch. You can watch us spin the wheel of blue and gold so you know that it's not being made up. By the way, we didn't even mention it on our last episode, but Jordan had Jeff Skinner for the Ottawa game. And I had – why am I forgetting who I had? It doesn't matter. The Sabres got shut out. So four to three on the year still. All right, let's do some mid-season grades for the Buffalo Sabres. Obviously, A, B, C, D, E, minus, plus. We'll give grades out for each of the top scorers on the Sabres. Really, we'll just go through the entire roster of the guys that have played regularly. We'll start at the top. Tage Thompson. Tage Thompson has been the story of the season, I would think. At least if you're looking at positive stories, he is the story of the season. 14 goals, 14 assists, 28 points in 39 games played. That is a 28-goal pace and a 56-point pace over 82 games. So, Jordan, what grade would you give Tage Thompson for his season thus far, midway through?
I think it's an A. Like, if you're judging it based on expectation and based on growth, like, I don't think I can't give Tage Thompson a higher grade. And I don't think A+. Like, I'm not going to give out A+s to anybody. Mm. But A is, like, that's the highest grade I would give. And I think it has to go to him, considering where he was at a year and a half ago. Like, this is night and day. Like, he found his position in the league. He's found a role on the team. I don't think he's going to end up being the first line center for the future, but he is definitely a piece for this team.
Isn't he the front runner to be the second line center? I would want to put him over Cousins and Mittelstadt for that right now.
Yeah, I think we'll get to them. We'll get to Cousins. But yeah, like, I think he is more of a top six player than they are. And so, yeah, I have no issues with his performance this year.
I echo that. I don't have anything to add. He's been fabulous. The awareness, using his body. Don Granato deserves a lot of credit, I think, for this too, for seeing his skill set, his game, and recognizing that a positional switch would benefit him. Because, listen, that might it makes sense after the fact. Like, hey, Tage Thompson, he's big, but he doesn't really play like a big man. He plays like a skilled guy. You think about it after the fact, you're like, oh, that makes sense. But in reality, how many coaches would have tried that with him? How many coaches in the league? I mean, the answer might be one. I'm not kidding you. Especially in this sport with the most, you know, simple-minded type thinking that, like, whatever they learned in the 80s, like, that's exactly what they're going to do, and they're not going to deviate from it. Granato might be the only coach that would have tried it. Maybe there's somebody else I'm not thinking of. Maybe the answer is like two or three, but not many. I don't think many coaches would have tried Thompson at center in the first place. So I agree with an A. This one might be a little tougher. How about Rasmus Dahlin? 42 games played, 7 goals, 21 assists for 28 points. That is a 56-point pace, which would be a career high for Dahlin. It would also be a 14-goal pace, which is also a career high for Dahlin. His highs in those categories prior were his rookie year with 9 goals and 44 assists. So Dahlin, a little tougher than Thompson probably, right?
Yeah, because there are still the defensive lapses and the issues on the back end that, you know, Dahlin's become kind of a staple of, turnovers and such. I'm still giving him an A-.
Okay.
I think that he has, like, he's the focal piece, right? He's the focal point of the team. Like, he is the keystone guy for this team. And he's, I think, handled that position well. He's handled all the chaos in the organization, so to speak. I mean, this is a weird year for a star player, and you're the only one left. And they're telling you, essentially, this is your team now. And I think that he's done everything that he's supposed to. I don't think he's like he's not a rah-rah guy. Yeah. It doesn't seem at all, like, in any way. But, like, he does, like, I would say he leads by example. I think he's gotten tougher. Mm-hmm. I see a little bit more physical toughness from him, which he needs. And I don't mean punching. I don't mean any of that. Yeah. But it's, like, board play. I think he is stronger in that regard. And I think that he has grown up a bit. And the power play, like, that's the other point, is, like, when he's on the power play compared to the second unit, it's not even close. Like, he is the engine of the power play. And the power play hasn't been all that terrible.
No, the power play's been pretty good. And you're right, he's obviously a big part of that. 23 minutes, 51 seconds of ice time leads the Sabres. I'm in the similar camp that you are because of the, especially early in the season. Remember there was like that four game stretch where he got walked like three different times and all were like brutal goals that were showing up on like SportsCenter, not top 10. Like he had a brutal start to the year with those moments, but there were some good moments sprinkled in. And I think he's been dominant at times in the last really dozen or so games. Even maybe a little bit longer than that. And the point totals are there. I was loving him in Ottawa. I mean, he gave up the one turnover that ended up going back the other way, but he almost turned it into a highlight reel play. He's playing with more confidence to me. And I would go B plus though on Dolly because the his own end, he's not B plus because of expectation. I'm still holding him, holding him to a higher standard because of his draft status and because of the buildup to what he was as a player. I'm still open to the idea of him being a Norris caliber defenseman someday, but when that's your standard and you're just a good top pair defenseman, I think B plus is the highest I'd want to go, but we're pretty close there anyways. I am now just recognizing, probably should have planned this out ahead of time, that we'll take 50 minutes if we go through the whole thing here. So what we're going to do, I'm going to call an audible. We're going to just do the rest of the forwards here with the midseason grades. Then on our next show, we'll do defensemen, and maybe we'll talk about the 9,000 goaltenders that the Sabres have played on the episode after that. So let's go to the next forward on the scoring list. Jeff Skinner, 40 games played, 16 goals, leads the Sabres, 11 assists for 27 points. He is on a 32-goal pace, and that is 54 points on his pace as well. He should have had a 17th goal in Ottawa that was disallowed because the ref completely lost sight of the puck. So what say you on Jeff Skinner and what his grade would be for the season?
Given the adversity that he's dealt with as a player, I'll give him I'm going to put him in the B-plus range. So thus far, I've been optimistic on all three players. But I think Jeff Skinner, you wonder how much adversity a guy with $10 million in his bank account every year faces on a day-to-day basis. But if you have pride in yourself as a player, like I would say that there is a lot of adversity that he dealt with. The expectations and the frustrations of dealing with a coach that you didn't see eye to eye with. And then having to like bounce back and still try to produce. And I think he's found a very strong role with Tage Thompson. I have to give him some credit too, I think, with how Tage Thompson plays. Like, he's the leader of the line, right? Like, he's the oldest guy there. And it seems like he definitely, like, took Tage Thompson and said, like, yeah, I can work with this. Like, this is the type of guy I can play with. And, like, the lines, it's all about chemistry and it's all about meshing. And I think I want to give Jeff Skinner some credit for that too. So, like, I was fully expecting another disaster and we'll be sitting here cringing about this contract, just added to the list of contracts that we don't like. I don't like it still. I don't like the contract. But he does, like, it's becoming more in Okposo territory where it's like he does things that I like that I'm not going to criticize him as much for the bad contract anymore.
I would even I'll go B plus on Skinner because of the contract. I agree with you that he's worked really well with Thompson and Olofsson too. Olofsson's his second most common line mate on the season. 32 goals. Like if I told you Skinner was going to average 32 goals for the length of the contract, everyone would sign on the dotted line for that, right? Everyone.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying he'll reach that mark, but he's finishing. You know, like these are not fluky goals. Like he's back to what he was doing when he was on the J. Crew line with Jack Eichel and Jason Pominville, where he's kind of playing off of the other guys. Now, more recently, it's been Thompson, of course. He's playing off of him. Like, all right, you possess the puck. Like, it's good. Your show. You carry it in. You stick handle. I'll be here to capitalize on rebounds. I'm going to go to the front of the net. I'll score on my one timers from the wall. These crafty different moves that he tries once in a while. Like Skinner's just a good 5-on-5 goal scorer. And yeah, to me, it's like almost early Okposo. Before Okposo kind of took that step back the last 2 years, was he's overpaid, but he's still a good player. And I think that's where I'm at with Skinner. a good player. Yes, he's overpaid, but he's a good player. And I would go B plus with him being on a 32 goal pace. All right, let's do one more forward before we take another quick timeout and then come back and do a bunch more. Kyle Okposo, interestingly enough, if I had you guess who's next on the Sabres on pace for stats, it would be Okposo. And I am also, I'm just simply accounting his injuries. I'm not really doing an 82 goal pace here. I can do that quick math for you real quick, but 23 points in 37 games. So if you just double that, because we're halfway through, that's 14 goals and 46 points for Kyle Okposo. He's out right now. He'll be back in the next couple of games. I've been impressed by Okposo. I'll go first on this one. I'd go with an A minus on him. Again, that is relative to his expectation, because the last 2 years, he was a good fourth liner. Like, we loved that log line with Larson and Girgensons, but he had become a fourth liner. And this year, like, he's back in that middle six tier, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I'm with you. I'll give him A minus. I was going to put him at B plus again. Similar to Skinner, kind of all the things with Skinner, I kind of echo for him. It's a guy that has the burden of a expensive contract. And I think, like, a lot of guys can Ville Leino it and supposedly just, like, become apathetic and lethargic and lazy. And I don't think Okposo's ever been that guy. Okposo tries to play up to the money.
Yeah.
Every game in, game out. And so for that, like, I respect the hell out of him. And so I can't go higher than that, because I think, like, I mean, he was signed to be something more, but I think that he has filled a role on this team. And he's another one that I give credit to leadership. Like, this team could have, like, imploded. Like, yeah. When you think about, like, all the stuff they dealt with, like, they losing the face of the franchise. The face of the franchise does not want to play with you anymore. Mm. And guys like Kyle Okposo, like, they're the bedrock of this team now. They're the guys that have to keep all these players in line, keep them focused on the right stuff. Like, I think that does matter to a point too. Like, mm-hmm. This is a team that could have been an absolute disaster the way, like, Arizona and Montreal are. And Okposo made it not that way, or at least contributed to it.
Yeah. He, by the way, if you didn't hear him the other day on the Jordan Subban situation. It's not really a situation. That's sloppy. What's the word I want? The hateful gesture made towards Jordan Subban in the ECHL. Completely racist. Okposo talked at length about that the other day. And really strong. Really intelligent. Just stand-up guy, character guy. You mentioned, like, leader in the locker room. He's really the de facto captain of that team, I think. He doesn't wear the C, but if you were to pull the guys in that locker room, like, no one's wearing the C, but who's the captain of this team? I feel like Kyle Okposo would be the guy. Just my sense. I'm not in the locker room, so I don't know. But, yeah, really, 51-point pace, by the way. 82-game pace of 51 points. That'd be his highest for the Sabres. 45 was his high before that, so he's been awesome. All right, next on our list is Victor Olofsson. And I will talk about Victor Olofsson in just 1 second, because I do want to remind you that BetOnline would like to wish you a new betting year as we continue our march to the playoffs and beyond. BetOnline remains the number one spot for all the sports wagering action for 2022. New year and a new updated desktop and mobile website. To sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus in your first deposit, just use the promo code LOCKEDON to get started. We'll preview Sabres and Coyotes on Saturday. I think the Sabres might be a favorite in that game. We don't have it yet, but they have not been favored for a long time, and they have not been a road favorite for a very long time either. Maybe not once this season. There's a chance, because Arizona is horrible, and that's what the Sabres got on Saturdays. We'll check back on that a little bit later in the week at BetOnline. BetOnline, where the game starts. Jody Biasi and Jordan Hanskin here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. So Victor Olofsson, weird year. He had 5 goals in his first 8 games out of the gates. Then he gets the wrist injury, and it knocks him out for 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And he was practicing throughout most of that. He just couldn't shoot the puck. So I think it's clearly affected his shooting because he still has not scored since that injury. Halloween was the last time he scored a goal. He has not scored since, but he is putting up points, and his 5-on-5 numbers, his possession numbers, even his defensive numbers are all better. And I would say I'm recognizing a little bit more from him this year in his all-around game, but he's a goal scorer, a pure goal scorer, and he's at 5 goals. Again, the injury does play into that. His pace for the season is a 10-goal pace and 42 points. So he still gets in that 40-point range. So kind of a weird year for Olofsson, kind of like Dahlin. He might be tough to gauge here. I'll let you go first. Where would you grade Olofsson's season so far?
I had him graded as a C+. Goal scorer that doesn't score is always tough. I agree with the other sentiments, though, that like he has improved in other areas. So maybe could this be a little bit of a blessing in that like it got him to focus on different parts of his games that maybe he didn't have to think about too much because it's like, hey, go score some goals. Like now I can't really score some goals. So I'll go work on other parts of the game. But yeah, C+, like I still think like though, where does Victor Olofsson make his money? It's putting the puck in the net, and he just hasn't done it enough to get into the B or A range.
What would you? I would. I like C+. I would give him a C+. Also, what would you do with him after the year? He's going to be a restricted free agent again at age 27. The NHL CBA is so stupid. Guy's like almost done with his career. Like they hit the wall at 30, and he's still a restricted free agent. But anyways, that's a conversation for another day. Do you sign him? What does that contract look like? Do you trade him? His future is kind of hazy to me.
If I'm him, and if I'm going to say, I think bridge deal makes the most sense.
Another bridge deal for him? I guess, yeah. 27, like, though. Don't you want to be signing long-term at that point? He doesn't have much of a say.
But I guess. If I'm the Sabres, like I wouldn't want to commit to him necessarily.
What if Olofsson does the Reinhardt thing? I mean, he's not Reinhardt, so it's not as pressurized. But if he says, I'm only playing one more year here.
Okay.
Trade him, right?
Yeah.
I don't need him for 1 year. He's not young.
The Sabres are not in like a desperate position. Like they can do whatever they want.
Yeah.
So like, I don't think these players, like if Victor Olofsson walked in and said, I will only be here 1 year, the Sabres would be like, all right. Thanks.
Whatever.
Like, I don't think the Sabres really care.
Just, huh? Who's talking? I mean,
and good thing, luck.
I can't harp on his age enough. Like the timeline of this team is to get good in what, 2 years from now? Like he's gonna be approaching 30 years old by the time the Sabres get good.
Like next year, I think that they're gonna be like similar, but I would expect better. Like they'll be like young, scrappy.
Yeah.
Maybe a little better, but yeah, like I think the future could definitely involve Olofsson, but yeah. I don't think the Sabres should commit to him long-term this year.
Yeah, me neither. Let's do two more and then we'll do more of these on our next upcoming episodes. Cause again, we got a couple days until the Sabres next game, which is against the Arizona Coyotes. Next is Dylan Cousins. Dylan Cousins has 10 goals and 10 assists, 20 points in 39 games played. So that is above a 20-goal pace. He has been better in the two-way game. That was always his game in the first place, what it was supposed to be. He has not been perfect in that regard, but he's still showing enough to make you think really good two-way center for a really long time. But I do wonder about his offensive ceiling. He's showing some goal-scoring acumen, but is he going to be some elite offensive player? Every game that goes by, I didn't have much faith in that to begin with, but every game that goes by, I'm beginning to think more and more like, yeah, his ceiling might more be like 50, 60 points, which is fine. If he turned into a 60-point guy, I'd love that. That'd be great. But I'm not thinking he's got number one center potential at this point, and it's year two, so I know he's only 20 years old. I don't want to be too harsh on the kid, but given his expectations, I'd go B- for Dylan Cousins. B- would be my vote for Dylan.
Yeah, that's good. I was thinking B-, like, even C+, like, I just think he's been like the flash in the pan type player to me. Like, there are moments where I'm like, ooh, wow, Dylan Cousins. Like, there are some, like, he has some, like, his speed confuses me. Like, I think, like, he's, at times, he's, like, lightning fast.
Yeah.
And, like, at times, it's, like, there are some shifts where he goes about and I barely notice him, or I forget that he's like even playing. So like, I just, for him, I would say like to boost that grade up to the B plus range, just get the more consistency.
Okay. More consistency from Cousins. I like it. And then one more for today. Let's do Vinny Hinostroza.
Oh my
God. Unlike the others, a guy on a 1-year contract that probably doesn't have a role in this team's future. 27 years old, the same age as Olofsson. They could bring him back on another deal. He's been good. He's on a 16 goal pace. Actually, that's just by doubling it because we're at the midway point. But actually, if I do the math really quick, he is on a 18 goal pace on the season. And he's played with Cousins a lot this year. He's played even a little bit with Skinner. Asplund has been a very common line mate of his. I like Hinostroza. You know, like, he's small, he's fast, he's got some goal scoring ability. I think he's just kind of a cool third liner that any team should want. Like, if he is a rental guy at the deadline, if I'm a playoff team, that's not a move that's going to get my fan base like jolted. Like, oh man, I just got Vinny Hinostroza. Let's go. Stanley Cup time. But like, if they trade him at the deadline, guarantee you that guy is going to be making big plays in the playoffs that we're all going to be like, oh, remember he was a Saber. So, but all of that, by the way, I would give him, given his expectations, I think I'd give him an A. I've loved him this year. I'd give him an A.
Yeah, I agree. I forget. Did we name the Hinostroza fan club?
Hinohive, didn't you?
What's it? The Hinohive?
Hinohive.
Hinostroziacs?
The hyenas? The hyonas? That doesn't make sense. I'm trying to play off hyenas. That doesn't make sense.
But anyway, like, I'm in that fan club. Like, I love this guy. Like, I would bring him back. I don't know if he wants to. I don't know if he wants to, like, be back on the team. But that's, like, the type of role players. I always say, like, these are the type of role players the Sabres miss. I watch all the good teams, and they have, like, I'm like, why don't we have one of those?
Yeah.
And, like, I think Hinostroza is, like, one of those guys that, like, we finally got one. And it has improved, like, our depth play. Like, of course, this is a year where the Sabres lose a lot of talent, too. Mm-hmm. But, like, that's the type of guy that the Sabres need when they're filling out a roster. And it makes me, at least, even if he doesn't stay here long term, hopeful that the management is going to bring in more of the same. Seems like they might have a blueprint that they've found of bringing in better players.
Yeah. He was – that's, like, the first move I remember the Sabres making that was, like, analytics. Like, this is the analytics guys doing this, because Hinostroza had some good numbers here and there in the NHL. He had a 16 goal, 39 point season with the Coyotes a couple of years ago. Last year in limited action for Chicago, he had 12 points in 17 games. So he's had some success, but I remember when they signed him and like, there's Chad Dedeminisis, there's Anthony Chandra, there's, you know, Chris Ostrander, like these Saber Twitter guys that like the guys that really know the numbers, and they're like, oh yeah, this is a numbers guy. Like Jesse Ventura leading the Sabres analytics department, like this might be his move. And he's showed out for that. And I would love to keep him again. I don't know what that contract would look like. Maybe like a 2-year deal, $2.5 million. It wouldn't be anything crazy. But I agree with you. I think he's a good third line player, and I would love to have him on this team going forward. The speed element too. Like that can't be understated. Like he makes your team faster. When your role players have got speed like that and they're not like pluggers, I think you're a better team. I think you're a better team for it. All right. We've got the rest of the defensemen to go through. That's not Dahlin. Still a few more forwards and some goaltenders as well. So we got some more midseason grades coming your way on our next episode. We'll also talk a little bit about Devin Levi and Owen Power going to Team Canada for the Beijing Olympics. That's on the docket for our next show as well. Make sure you're following us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports and Jordan is at JR Hanskin. Thanks for making us your first listen every day here on the Locked On Sabres podcast, and we will talk to you tomorrow.